as we're talking about the subject of creation, something that's very unique about the way God created. He didn't start with a pile of bricks and make something. God started with absolutely nothing. And just by speaking, the world around us, all that we see in our very selves, were formed. You know, and something that's so crazy about that, if I think about what I can create with just my words, only thing I'm really good at creating with my words is maybe some disorder, maybe some dissension and some conflict. But God, just by speaking, created everything that we know. And we're going to start a new series today. We're going to be looking at Genesis, kind of walking through Genesis. And I'd encourage you in your own readings to read through the book of Genesis. You know, every morning, maybe just read a chapter or two and just kind of write down, hey, these are some of the things I noticed. But that's where we're kind of going over the next 5 weeks of our teaching. Today, I want to be talking about the power of God that we see demonstrated in creation. And so to start us off, you got your nice sheets here. On the back of your sheets, you have all of Genesis chapter 1 written out there for you. And I want you to do two things at your tables right now. Okay? Number one, at your tables, I want you to read it. Okay? Have someone at your table, maybe read paragraphs, go around, read it. Okay? And every time you see the word God, or you see a personal pronoun that relates to God, like I, he, our, any of those, I want you to circle or underline, circle every time it says God, okay? I want you to count those. But have someone at your table read it aloud, count them out. The other thing I want you to do is you're going to notice a pattern as you go through the 6 days of creation, okay? You're going to notice a pattern, and at your table, I want you to come up with the pattern, okay? So, read it aloud, circle those things, and come up with a pattern. You got 5 minutes. Go. Help me out here. How many times in Genesis chapter 1 does it refer to God or, yes?
42.
42 is incorrect. Yes, Ms. Lawler. 44 is correct. There are 44 times where it refers to God. Now, you notice... but you notice, I mean, as I read that passage, I'm just struck because it's like, and God did this, and God did this, and he did this, and God did this, and I this. And you'll see, as we're going to be talking through this whole passage, that God is the one who's kind of the focal point here in creation. Okay, now, we're going to talk a little bit about pattern here. And just to kind of help us with this pattern, I'm going to talk you through day 3. How does every day of creation start? The pattern is always the same. It says, it starts off, no. Every day of creation starts off with these 3 same words. Then God said, okay, good job, Jojo. Okay, then God said, okay, Everything starts with, and God said. All God had to do was speak to create. It doesn't say, and God had to dig a big hole, and he worked really hard, and he broke a sweat, and he had to, you know, do all this physical labor. It says, then God said. God creates by just speaking, okay? And kind of next in your pattern, what do you see next in your pattern, okay? Anyone want to help me out with this? Yes. Okay. There you go. He gives, here's the thing. God gives a command. And this is what I want you to note. It says, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And this next phrase is so key. And it was so. Every time God speaks, everything responds to God. It doesn't say, like, God said do this, and they kind of debated, and the stars were like, no, I don't want to be formed. I don't want to shine. I want to do my own thing. It's like God spoke, and everything responds, and everything obeys God's voice. Other thing you're going to note there is the way that God is creating more order in life. Now, maybe, I don't know if you're like me, like this, but when I was in high school, and a lot still to this day, when I go into my room, I might be carrying my book bag, I might be carrying whatever I'm carrying. I walk into my room and I just drop it somewhere, right? Okay? You just go in, you drop it on the floor here, maybe on a table over here, and it just drops. And over the course of a week, my room does not have more order to it. It has more chaos, more disorder to it. But everything, as God is just speaking, everything is moving towards order. My life moves towards chaos and disorder. God speaks and he creates order in our world. Then going on in verse 10, and God called the dry land earth and gathered the waters, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. God goes about and he names some of his creations. And this is what's so cool. We're not going to look at this today, but in Genesis 2, God actually gives Adam the right to name the animals. He's kind of sharing some of his privileges and rights with mankind. He names them, and then you see this over and over in our pattern of creation. And God saw that it was good. He takes a minute to stop, maybe probably more than a minute, to stop, pause, reflect, and say, yes, that is good. Okay? And as we continue in verse 11, you see, and then God said, again, he speaks, and everything responds. Let the earth sprout vegetation and plants yielding seeds and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with a seed in them. And again, it was so. God speaks and things respond to God. The earth brought forth vegetation. Everything obeys God's command. Plants yielding seeds after their kind and trees bearing fruit with seeds in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. Exact same pattern. God speaks, everything responds just as it's supposed to. God stops and says, it was good. And the last thing you'll notice with each day of creation, it says in verse 13, there was evening and there was morning, a third day. He makes a very specific point to say that there was a morning and a night. And I'm not going to go into a whole creation evolution debate here, but he makes a very clear statement every day that it was one day in creation, that it was a complete day, so 6 days of creation. Now from this, what are some things that I learn about God? Go ahead in the next slide for me. Next slide. What are some things that I learn about God from creation? Anyone want to throw something out for me, okay? Man! Okay, anyone want to answer number one? Yes, Cole! God is all-powerful. Cole, you are so smart today. Great job. God is all-powerful. If his voice can create everything, that is just ridiculous power. I mean, I might, you know, my six-year-old son, Jeremiah, you might mess with a little kid because he's small and, you know, he can't really hurt you or anything like that. But you're not going to mess with someone who you have absolutely no chance of defeating. It's not like I can even use, like, Jedi, I'm going to use the Force against God. There's no way that I could defeat God if by just his very voice things come into being. God is all-powerful. Next thing you notice about God, go ahead and put it up for me. God is the source of all. Nothing came into being without him. Even the things I create, and we're going to talk about this more, even the things I create are because he has made this world for us. Because he has made it, I can do anything. God is the source of all. And last thing that I want to highlight today is that God is the first mover. God is the first mover. He is the starter and the initiator of everything, and you and I respond to it. It's kind of like, you know, if you ever had to sit next to someone you don't really know so well on a bus ride, and you're both kind of sitting there, and you're like, well, we should probably talk or do something, but I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't even remember this person's name. Someone's got to be the one that kind of like breaks the ice and says, hello, my name is Aaron. You know, what school do you go to? Do you like playing sports? God is the one that is initiating that relationship. God is the first mover in all things. And we are responding. And three things that I want to talk about, how this relates to me, what this means to me. And we're going to unpack in each of these. Go ahead and put up the first one there for me. How this affects us, number one is that we should fear God. We should fear God. Number two, we should praise God. And number three, we can't take credit. We should fear God, we should praise God, and we can't take credit. Now, that's kind of the overarching outline, that rest of that blank space there on your paper there, I would love for you to use to write down your specific applications. I'm going to be talking through a bunch of specific ways that this can apply. Those are some general topics. And I want you to use that blank space to write down, hey, what's that one or two key things that I need to walk away with and I need to apply in my life? Now, bringing this down, we should fear God. What does that mean? I'm not talking like fear of judgment here. I'm not talking like I need to be afraid that God is mad at me and he's going to somehow, you know, smite and destroy me. It says in Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for any of us who are in Christ Jesus. But what I'm talking about in terms of fear here is a respect, okay? Well, let's talk about respect and maybe respecting our teachers. I know that's at times for us. But let's say your teacher walks in the room, okay? Help me out here. What would be a disrespectful way to greet your teacher who walks in the room? Yes, ma'am. Calling him by the first name, okay? Informalness there. Yes, Moises. Okay, yell, go away, get out of here for me. Okay, yeah, right in the back. Saying, what's up, fool, okay? I'm sure your teachers are going to be a really big fan of that. And here's the key thing. If your friend walks in the room, right? If instead of a teacher, it's your friend walking in the room, and you respond with a, you know, what's up, fool, get lost, or just totally ignore your friend, they're going to feel like my presence, me being here, doesn't matter. I came over to see him, and my presence, me being here, doesn't matter. And I think a key point of respect, especially as it relates to us respecting God, is does God's presence matter? Does it matter that the all-powerful creator of the universe, the one who spoke me into existence, does it matter that he says that he is here with us? You know, God, you know, I know you're here with me wherever I am, but I just want to act my own way right now. I just want to do my own things right now. I know it wouldn't honor you if you, it's not honoring to you what I'm looking at. It's not honoring to you the way I'm speaking to other people. It's not honoring to you the way I'm spending my time. It's not respecting you doing any of these things, but your presence doesn't matter. And when I just callously say I can do whatever I want, I'm saying it doesn't matter, God, that you are here with me. And it's me disrespecting God. You know, kind of with our teachers too. Maybe what's a disrespectful way to listen to our teachers? Okay, disrespectful way to listen to our teachers. Help me out. Okay, not listening, just kind of like, I'm in my own world, zoning out, okay? Ronnie? Sleeping in class, okay? I don't care. Yes. Being interruptive, talking to your friends at the same time. Okay, one more over here. Yes, ma'am. Making faces at your teacher. Okay, no one started. That would be weird if you guys started making faces at me right now. Okay, when it comes to God, right, I believe that God is always trying to talk to us. He always has things he wants to share with us. And my challenge is, am I respecting God enough that I'm going to listen to him? And what I mean by that is, do I come here to a place where I'm going to learn about God with a heart that's actually listening? Or am I here because, you know, I'm just here to, you know, talk to my friends and hang out, we're going to have a good time, and really, if God say something to me, I really could care less. I know for myself this is a challenge that I face. You know, I've been coming to this church for, you know, 20-something years. I've heard a lot of Mike Minner's sermons. And, you know, there's times where I'm like, am I just coming here because I'm supposed to come here every Sunday? Or am I coming here to listen to what God wants to say to me? Am I showing God that respect? Or is it just like me sleeping in a class? Or maybe it's distractions are keeping me from respecting God by listening to Him. Maybe it's that distraction of, you know, I know I want to get up in the morning and read my Bible because God wants to speak to me through that Bible. But I'm always distracted, not by, you know, that friend sitting next to me. I'm distracted by my iPhone. I got to check something out. You know, I want to check out what ESPN.com is. What's the latest news on the Patriots? I'm glad they won last night. You know, whatever it is, I'm so distracted by my eye, this and that, and I'm missing out on God saying, "Hey, Aaron, love to spend some time with you. I'd love to for you to spend some time reading my Word. I'd love to talk to you through that." And will I respect God enough that I listen to Him in those moments? And will I respect Him by applying what I hear? You know, it's like my parents talking to Him. Do I listen to my parents as I talk to Him, or do I just push them away? And as this verse says, Proverbs 1:7, there it is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Me fearing God, me respecting God this way, is the beginning of wisdom. And I would have to be a fool. I'd have to be a fool to ignore God's instruction to me. And this is kind of my challenge to you. I think in 95%+ of situations, I know exactly how I should act. I know what the right thing to do is. I know that, you know, lying, cheating, stealing, disobeying my parents, not looking at inappropriate material, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. But am I disrespecting my God by just doing it anyway? And remember, it's the God who spoke things into existence that is challenging you to live this way, not just some religion. The next thing I think it should make me do is it should make me praise God. You can go to the next slide for me. It should make me praise God. In Romans chapter 1, verse 25, it talks specifically about the folly or the foolishness about praising things other than God. It says, "For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie." Instead of God's truth, they changed it for a lie. "And they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." I mean, how crazy is it for someone to look at a nice painting and be like, "Man, I love the way this is painted, you know, the great brush strokes here, there, and everywhere. But yeah, I think the artist is terrible. A great painting, but the artist is terrible." No, you wouldn't say that. If you don't just worship the creation, you worship the Creator. And as I look at the things in my life that I worship, it can be my athletic performance, my academic performance, my popularity. Do I say, "God, you know what? Those are all because I am so awesome. I am just so amazing, and that's why I do that." Or to say, "No, God, you are the Creator. You are the one who gave me those abilities. You are the one who gave me those talents. You are the one who enabled me in those ways. And because of that, I am going to praise you, the Creator, not me, the creation." You can look at the same thing with our stuff, right? With our stuff. You know, for Christmas, you know, maybe you got that new iPhone, or you got an Xbox One, or a Wii U, or whatever, and it's not wrong to have on it all those things and play those things. I like them. But those are things not to be worshipped, but those are gifts, those are opportunities that you've been given from your parents and ultimately from God. You don't worship them, you worship the Creator. And here's just a little example for you, okay? I need my periodic table here. Most of you know that I'm a big fan of chemistry here. Periodic table, help me out here. Okay, Now, here's a periodic table of the elements. Who knows how many of these elements are naturally occurring? Several of these have been synthesized. How many of them are naturally occurring elements? Yes. I need a number. Number. Yeah. 56 is incorrect. 56 is incorrect. Yes. No. That is incorrect. Naturally occurring. It's actually 90, but you're close enough. You got more. Okay. Now, there are 90 naturally occurring. Go to my next slide for me. Go to my next slide. Hook me up. Okay. All the ones that are left are the naturally occurring elements. Okay. Now, if you take your iPhone, or any smartphone, it's not specific to an iPhone, do you know how many of these elements are required to manufacture your iPhone? How many of them? Yes. 56. You're a little cheater. But yes, 56. 56 is correct. I don't know if he's cheating. He did hear that from me. 56. Go ahead and put up the next slide. Put up the next slide for me. All the ones X'd out are ones that you don't use. As far as I know, you don't use. All the ones that remain are ones that are required to make an iPhone. And you need to have that bottom line of chemicals there. You need to have the ND. I'm sure that's one of those chemicals you look at all the time, neodymium. That is used to make the magnets that are used to vibrate, to make your speakers and to make the vibrating thing function in your phone. You've got to have chemicals like europium. That's element 63 there. That makes your screen glow red, have the red color. You need phosphorus, element 15, that makes your screens glow green. It's a combination of carbon 6, nitrogen 7, oxygen 8, hydrogen number 1, that's used to make your plastics, which are making a lot of the cases of it. You got gold 79, silver 47, and copper 29 that are used to make all the connectors and circuits and carry the electrical signals behind it. Bottom line here, we look at the iPhone maybe as a pinnacle of man's technological achievements, that we can put all of our computing power in our pocket, right? We got a little smartphone there, and we're so amazing. Look at how awesome man is. The reason that you and I have iPhones or have any of these technology smart things is because God was so ingenious, God was so smart in the way that he made our creation, that he would create something like this for us to use. The iPhone is not a pinnacle of man's technological achievements. It is a pinnacle of God's genius in the way that he made our universe. And that leads me to kind of my final point. The things that I look at in this world, if I really understand that God is my creator, I can no longer take credit for anything. We can't take credit. So many times we want to look at the things that we do. We want to look at our athletic performance and be like, look at what I did. That was a gift that God gave you, that you can run, you can walk, and you can hit people hard in football. That's a gift from God. My is a gift from God that I can use. So my academic success is God's gift to me. You know, take Christmas gifts, for example, right? We want a gifts we give to other people. We want people to like our gifts, right? No one gives a gift and like, I really hope you hate this gift. No, you want them to like it and be like, yeah, thanks. Thanks so much for thinking of us. Well, as a dad, especially as a dad of young kids, a lot of times the responsibility of who's going to give presents to mommy falls on dad. I mean, Mother's Day should be renamed like, you know, Husbands Appreciate Your Wives Day, okay? Because really, my, 4, 6, and 8-year-old, they're not going to do a great job of appreciating mom. They need that help from dad to get it going on. So typically, I'm the one getting the presents. We get the presents for mom. Mom's excited. Yay. Right? So this year for Christmas, my daughter Sarah is like, this year I want to buy presents for everyone, okay? And so I'm like, you're serious about this? She's like, yeah, I really want to buy presents for everyone. So I take her to Five Below. That's about her price range. And she goes, and She picks out what she wants to get for everyone. We go to check out, and I'm like, you got to pull out your wallet. You said you want to get presents for everyone. And she's like, oh, okay. Pulls out her money, pays. We're driving home, and I was like, so how was that, Sarah? And she's like, it's a lot more fun when you pay, Daddy. But that's what I feel like we're like so many times with God. We say, look at all the things that I've done. Look at all these things that I've done. And it's like a kid looking at, it's like my daughter looking at looking at my wife for the last 8 years of her life saying, oh, look at what I got you for Christmas. No, you got those things because Daddy enabled you to do it. I can do things in my life because God has been gracious in enabling me. He is the creator, and He is the one that has empowered me. And this is so critical to all areas of my life, especially my salvation. See, sin, the things that I've done wrong, have separated me from God, created a wall between me and God. But God, in His graciousness, not because of something I did amazing to save me, God did something awesome. God sent His Son Jesus Christ into this world to live a perfect life and to die on a cross for my sins. Not because of something amazing that I've done. Not because I walked some lady across the street and God, wow. God's not impressed that I walked an old lady across the street. He created by speaking. Not because of something I've done, but because of His graciousness, because of His goodness, He sent Christ in this world to die on a cross for you and for me. And that's something I can't take any credit for. It's something I can't take any credit for. All I have to do is instead accept that gift that God is offering to me. I want to close with a video. And in this video, it's a couple slides up. You're going to have to skip ahead. You'll see it coming up, guys. It closes this video, and it starts on planet Earth, and it's going to be zooming out from Earth. And you're going to see these little rings. You're going to see these little rings in the video. Each one of those rings represents it 10 times that the camera has been zoomed out. So go ahead and roll that for me, and then I'm going to close with just one last thought. My prayer for you is this, that you would see just how absolutely big and powerful God is. And that would make you fear Him, praise Him, and not take His credit. Let me pray for us. God, I thank You for how infinitely powerful and great You are. Your ways and thoughts are so much higher than ours, and we are just stand in awe of what You have done just by speaking, Lord. God, because of that, I pray that I wouldn't take the credit for things that You're doing and the way that You're moving and You're acting, but instead, we would have hearts that really respect You, that want and value Your presence with us, that we would have hearts, God, that just praise You because You are so awesome. And we wouldn't take the credit for the things that You're doing in our lives, Lord. God, may our lives be about Your worship and not our own, because You alone are worthy to be praised. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.